Gore Friends, this is Mars.
And Story.
And welcome back to Gore Friends. We take deep dives into various horror films. And this week we have Story's pick. Story, would you like to tell the listeners what you chose?
You know what, Mars? I would like to tell them. I chose Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Oh, we shouldn't be afraid? Don't be afraid?
Don't be afraid. I mean, you should. But they're going to tell you not to be. You should be, but they're going to tell you. They're going to lie and say, nothing, man. Nothing dark. Just don't be afraid.
So stay tuned and find out why you should be afraid of the dark, you guys. You guys, as we mentioned in our intro, Story chose Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. Story, why did you choose this movie?
Well, Mars, I'm a very indecisive person. You know, I go back and forth a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I like this movie, but maybe not. Mm-hmm. I wanted something that was like not too scary, because I didn't feel like it after what was that we did that I picked last time? I just got too serious. Oh, Insidious, that last key. I was like, that was a lot for my mentale, and I need to scale it back. Yeah. So I had a really hard time because I'm like, shoot, what can I pick? That's a good horror movie, but it scales it back. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, you know, let me see. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark was on Netflix. I was like, goes with the fairy theme from last week, but this one dives more into like fae lore. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this will be fun, so I picked it.
Really good reason.
And I saw it in theaters.
I can see this being a good theater watch. If you guys are not familiar with the movie, this came out, I don't know why. Okay, so I don't know who's honest here. So Wikipedia is saying 2010. Google is saying 2011. I don't know who's honest here. We're just going to say 2011. We're just going to say 2011. I trust Google more than Wikipedia.
Netflix also said it was 2010.
Oh, so Netflix is 2020. Okay, rumors everywhere. So basically 2010, rumors. 2011, you guys. If you're not familiar with what the movie's about, this is the synopsis taken from Google. Let's see how long the synopsis is. It's not that far. Okay. Lonely and introverted young Sally has just arrived at the 19th century mansion that her father and his girlfriend are restoring. While exploring the sprawling estate, Sally discovers a hidden, long undisturbed basement. Unwittingly, she unleashes a race of malevolent, dark-dwelling creatures who intend to drag her and her family down into the mansion's bottomless depths. This is a remake of a 1973 made-for-TV movie. So we're dealing with fairies. Not nice fairies. This isn't Tinkerbell here. This isn't Tinkerbell. This is sketchy fairies here. I'm going to go into the actors and the crew and whatnot. So we have Troy Nixie directing it, and this honestly was his only film that he made, which kind of makes me sad because it was pretty well directed.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. The only thing
that he made, and thus far, really great visual director for sure. And writing wise, we have Guillermo del Toro. If you guys don't know that name, Hellboy, Crimson Peak. Pan's Labyrinth. Sorry. And then we have Matthew Robbins, who also helped write Crimson Peak as well. As for the actors, we have Bailey Madison, who played Sally. She was also in the new Strangers movie, Strangers Pray at Night. She was in that. And then we have Katie Holmes, who plays Kim. She Ocean's 8, Batman Begins. She's one of those actresses that I hear her name a lot, but I don't know what she's in. And then we have Guy Pearce, who plays Alex, and he's in Memento, which is one of my favorite thrillers. One of my favorite Christopher Nolan movies, probably. And then he's also in LA Confidential. So that being said, we're going to go right into our main segment, Funny, Cool, Scary. So what did you find funny in the movie, Story?
What did I find funny? Okay. Oh, also want to shout out, Del Toro also produced this movie as well.
You can totally see his influence in that.
Yeah, it's heavy.
Yeah.
It's real heavy. So for funny, I only have two things this time. I have a ton of notes, but only two funny. So that gives you an idea of where this show is going, you guys. to the F-ups. So my first funny was when Sally first arrived and she went to the bathroom and started crying, and her dad Alex was like, hey sweetie, come out the bathroom, come on. And she was like, mom said that you only liked her because she's young, but she's not, she's old.
I laughed at that too. I laughed at that.
Like, wow, sis. Wow.
Yeah, savage.
She's old. Kids, for kids, everyone is old. I thought 25 was old when I was 8, so okay. And then I have the whole struggle with the picture at the dinner table, because she was just looking like a fool. They had her, they just played sis, poor Sally. They just had her looking like a fool the whole movie.
Yeah,
but the table scene made me laugh because that one Barry was like so ready. He was so determined to get the picture from her, and she was struggling hard.
She was
like, no, I need this. Don't do this right now. Like, don't
not the time. For me.
Not the time at all. So that part made me laugh too.
All right. Yeah, those are really good reasons. Really good funny things. I have a little bit more than two. So things I found funny. So first off, I mentioned the same thing, the whole she's old quote. I thought that was funny. I wrote down Sally walking home. She was like, you know what? F this. No one's gonna listen to me. I'm outie. Like, I'm done. I'm just going to walk to LA. I don't know where I am. I know we're in New England or whatever, but, you know, out of here. So I thought that was funny that she was just sped up.
Anything's better than the house, man. Can't blame her.
I wrote down, this is also near the beginning, when they first got into the house, and basically it's her first night in the house, and she could just hear her dad and her and his girlfriend just like giggling through the vent. She puts the pillow through the vent, and I was like, relatable though.
relatable. I didn't even write anything down for that part because it just, I felt attacked. It hit me too hard, too close to home.
Relatable. And then the last thing I wrote was like, freaking Kim, I know she's trying to help. Okay, so context. So basically, Sally, oh my God. I also wrote, like, Sally's parents are just douchebags, but that's not funny. I don't even know where to put that. I was just angry. But basically, Sally's mom gave her to Sally's dad because of some reason. I don't know why. And Sally's dad has a new girlfriend, and they are staying in this house and kind of rebuilding it and remodeling it or whatever. And yeah, and obviously, as a child of divorce, I felt attacked. I totally related to this movie. I'll kind of mention that more in Cool. But, you know, Kim's trying to be friendly and was like, oh, would you like to bake some scones? And I was like, bruh, she's not like in her 30s. Like, mention cookies or brownies or something like it. Kids don't eat scones, dude. Like, I don't even eat scones.
It's so sophisticated.
Yeah. I was like, what? I don't even like scones. So tell, you need to, you're not really child friendly. You're trying to be friendly, but you can tell that she doesn't have that much experience with kids. So I thought that was funny. She's like, will you make some scones? No, I don't. So yeah, those are things I found funny. What did you find cool, Story?
I thought, oh man, there's a few. I have quite a few things. So, first of all, the fairy ring. So, Monty and I are like super into fairy lore. Well, we used to be, but we remember some things, mm-hmm. a thing or two. And fairy rings, if you notice the scene with the mushrooms in the grass and it was in like a perfect circle, that's called a fairy ring. Mm-hmm. Now, she stepped in the middle. Sally stepped in the middle of the fairy ring, but she didn't disrupt it. Usually in fairy lore, when you step in the center of a fairy ring, it kind of transports you mm-hmm. to the fairy's world. And so I thought it was interesting that she found the basement right after, because it's showing you that gateway into their world. Mm-hmm. And then if you break a fairy ring, it's like an omen for like a premature death, or that something bad is going to happen to you soon. You should never, ever break a fairy ring. And so when Mr. Harris grabbed Sally, he stepped right into the mushrooms and disrupted the ring. And then he died late, like shortly after. So, and he was the only death in the movie.
Well, he was in the hospital. So, did he actually die? I remember that she might have been in the hospital. But
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It didn't happen on screen. I shouldn't assume. But he was in the hospital, but he had lethal injuries. Like, they mm-hmm. were, they came for him. He, like, they didn't come for other people the way they came for him. So I thought that was really interesting and really cool how they bring about fairy lore a lot, which also brings me to Mr. Blackwood's story, who was the original owner of the house, and he was an artist, and his son was taken by the fairies, and he was trying to like give them teeth in exchange for his son back, but that's not how they work. And my theory is that the leader of the fairies that you see every so often, I feel like that's Mr. Blackwood. Mm. Their voices are similar. I didn't look into it because this is my theory and I feel like it makes the most sense.
Stories reach.
But because it's sticking so close to home with fairy folklore, typically fairies will take someone to be their new leader. So they'll usually, like back in the day, it'd be a queen. They would find someone to be their queen. Gnomes do this too. And they'll kidnap a woman and take them back to their world to be their new queen, or king in this case. So I feel like because they needed to replenish their ranks every year, and he seemed like he was kind of hanging on to his last, you know. He seemed a bit older, a bit more mature than some of the other fairies, or I don't know. But he did die, and then they took Kim.
Spoiler!
And Kim seemed to be their new... Yeah, sorry. Sorry. The leader,
they know,
the
they
fairy
know.
Leader did die. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, they took Kim. And she kind of became their new queen. And so I like that they stuck so much fairy lore into this movie for like nerds like me to catch. So that whole thing was really neat to me. I also got a lot of Coraline vibes because Sally wore red shoes throughout the whole movie up until the very last scene where she wore the brown boots. Mm-hmm. But she always wore red rain boots or red Chucks throughout the whole movie. So I thought that was really neat. She actually wore red the entire movie, which brings me to my next cool, the koi fish reference with the pond where Kim told her, you know, the thing that makes them the most beautiful is also the thing that makes them, you know,
vulnerable,
I guess. Vulnerable, yeah, because everyone in the movie was like an adult. They wore neutral colors, very mature palettes, and then you have little Sally wearing a lot of reds and pink, and she stuck out, but she was also the most vulnerable in the house. So I thought that was really fun. And then I put Mr. Harris as a what?
A thug.
And, you know, I decided at the last minute Kim could be a thug, too. Here's why. Mr. Harris, he knew that they didn't need to go in that basement. He tried so hard to make sure they didn't find the basement. He was like, oh, yeah, we shouldn't go down there. It's not safe. Kids especially shouldn't be down here. It's not good. It's no good. And nobody wanted to really listen to him. They just kind of ignored him. And then when he saw Sally with the bolts to the, I guess, their tunnel to their world, I suppose, he was just like, go upstairs, run, don't look back right now.
Yeah.
And she did it. I'm glad she listened to him. But he was like, let me get these here bolts back on his little shaky hands for old Mr. Harris. And then they went ham on him.
They did.
They just went ham. They were like, Harris, you fool. And it's like, why are you guys going in on him like that? Like, nobody else. They did not come at everybody else the way they came at Mr. Harris. And I refuse to believe it's for any other reason than the fairy ring. Because he broke the fairy ring. So, and then Kim, because she, I feel like there is a line that she said that implied she had a kid that possibly died. She said something along the lines of, I'm not even over my own kid. How can I be a mom to someone else's? Like, something like that. Which implied that maybe she once had a child. And so I feel like her being a first time parent somewhat, or a parent that's learning, she did really well. She was very intuitive. And she had that nurturing nature about her. When it came to her clothes, she was like, yo, I don't even care about my clothes. Like, she's like that little girl in there is scared. Like, she's not acting like a brat. She's not just being disobedient, which is what made me so angry with Alex. Why is someone else coming in and telling you things you should already know about your kid? And I hate that the parents just kind of dealt with her and not really cared for her. Like the whole sending her to her room because she didn't want apple pie because of gluten or something. And it's like, well, your mom's not here, so you should eat apple pie. And she's like, I don't want it. And he's like, okay, we'll go to your room. And it's like, well, so you're gonna force her to eat apple pie? It's not even like healthy. Like, I don't understand. So I totally felt Kim on so many levels. And then, but her packing Sally's bag was like what did it for me. I was like, when that dinner was happening, he was like, where's Kim? Oh, she's still upstairs. And he went upstairs and she already had Sally's bags packed. And she was like, load up the car. And he was like, no, we're not doing this. And then on cue, next scene. She got stuck in the study with all the fairies and all hell broke loose. And there is no way she could have made that mess in the study. No way she could have made it. Like, and Monty, I watched it with Monty. I was like, oh, she could have climbed the ladder and pushed stuff down. Like, she's a little girl. You think she's going to run up that ladder that fast, knock everything down, climb down, move it to the other side of the room? Like, that's too much. Like, she could not have done all that by herself. So I think that's when her dad realized, okay, we need to leave the house. And he was like, we should leave, right? And she was like, yeah, we should.
You think?
Put this in the car. She kind of took over. She was like, put this in the car, I'm gonna go get Sally. And she had pillows and blankets ready. Like, Kate, okay, she was ready. Okay, she was ready. And she was a thug after she got taken, because she's keeping them at bay. They're literally like, oh, we got to go back up there. And she's like, no, we can wait, we have all the time in the world. Like, let's just go back, we gotta hide deeper. She literally told them to go deeper underground. And they're like,
didn't catch that.
And she's like keeping them from resurfacing. So she's still being a mom to Sally, even though she's like a fairy now. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really dope. And again, it falls back into the fairy lore of her becoming like their queen. Let me see. I think that was all of my cool. Oh, one more. So my last cool is the front door has a tree on it, and the house is mostly made of wood. So trees are notoriously homes for fairies. And so I like that upon walking up to the door, you know, you're in their territory. And it's scary, but it's also really cool that they incorporated, I guess, fairies into every aspect of the house. The whole house feels like something pulled out of a fairy tale, you know? Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really neat. But yeah, those are all of my cools.
Really great cools you had. I have a few to add. So I mentioned the intro. I love intros that kind of give us chaos without any context. We have that in The Frighteners as well, where you just are thrown into a scene, you don't know what's going on, people are getting murked, you're like, what is happening? And that happens here with Mr. Blackwood. I'll mention him in my f-ups later, but yeah, really appreciate that intro. I mentioned that it's similar to Gremlins, kind of. I know they're not the same creatures, but kind of the same vibe. They're little creatures that are mischievous and evil. The only difference is gremlins are a little bit more funny, like they are silly at times when they're killing people, and these fairies are not silly. They're just down to business and just down to murk people. It also kind of reminded me a little bit of Hill House, because the same thing happened in The Haunting of Hill House, where they're a family trying to remodel this house, and during that time sketchy things happen. So I caught those similarities. And what else do I have written down? I wrote that Kim stepped up. So that was rad. And I read this up too. Apparently Blackwood is a name of where fairies come from, like one of the fairy lands, I guess. So I thought that was a cool little reference. And you know, Kim giving her life. I'm going to mention Kim giving her life because she wasn't even married to dude. She was just his girlfriend. She didn't sign up for this. She went through this whole thing, and she's a fairy now. Like, I was like, wow. So Kim
and the
just,
way she got taken.
Yeah.
She
wasn't okay. Like, I was watching this with a member of the Gore Gang, and we were like, so Kim's gone then. So she's a fairy. Okay. So I thought that was interesting to kill off Kim, because, you know, one of her parents needs to go, like her mom or her dad, because they both got on my nerves. And I don't want to dig too deep in it, because I'm going to talk about it more in themes, but having a kid, like basically seeing the effects of divorce. The person I watched it with, his parents are still together, so he doesn't know. He can't really relate at all. So watching it, he's just like, oh, Sally's so bratty. She's kind of annoying. And I'm like, yo, I'm a child of divorce. I totally get where she's coming from. I mean, my mom didn't abandon me at all. But, you know, dealing with dads and dads having new girlfriends and whatnot. Can you imagine just getting abandoned by your mom and then he has a new girlfriend, and you don't want to deal with that. So I totally relate to Sally. So it was one of those things where I had to kind of, you know, remind him. He's like, yo, I get it. So I like that point of view that they put on. And like I said, I'll mention it more into the themes. And I think that's all I have for school. I think so. And what did you find scary? What creeped you out, Story?
Okay, there are a few creepy moments. And also, I do agree with you. The whole child of divorce thing was, everything she went through was very much relatable, and I felt for her. They just kept knocking her out with drugs. She's dosing her up. Mm-hmm. So for my scaries, there's that scene with her dad putting his ear to the fairy door, mm-hmm. and they have that stick they keep trying to poke him with. They tease with that stick throughout the movie a lot, and they keep missing, which is kind of funny. But also the fact that they're gremlins but worse, pretty much. Mm-hmm. They're so mischievous, and typically fairies are. Like Monty and I were talking about this, but Disney kind of painted fairies to be these beautiful, cutesy mm-hmm. things, which some fairies, like sprites, I guess, would be the prettier of the fairies or pixies, but like gnomes, leprechauns, all of those are fairies too, and they're all very mischievous, and there's nothing is supposed to be sweet about them.
Yeah.
They're all about fairness and, you know, an eye for an eye kind of thing. So Sally killing their leader kind of sealed the deal on them taking Kim, because they're like, a life for a life. Like, he killed one of us, so now we gotta take one of you to replenish our ranks. So that whole thing is scary, just, you know, the way fairies operate, essentially. The whole scene with Mr. Blackwood and his maid with him, I have a thing about like teeth pulling and nails ripping off, and those are just my two big cringe factors. And so Mr. Blackwood, you know, getting the maid's teeth was just, I didn't like that. I don't like that. Not at all. So that, and I would say, oh, the sheet scene, the scene where Sally's in bed and she's under the sheet thinking, I don't know why kids do that. They think they're safe all of a sudden under
it never works, under you guys. Sheet. Stop teaching your kids that.
Never. And she had the flashlight, and then she saw one of the fairies kind of for the first time. I think that was the first time she saw one up close. Mm-hmm. And that scene in theaters rocked my boat, okay? You guys, let me tell you, it was not pleasant to see in the theater. Like, the sound design was really, because it was so quiet, and then the way they screech and scream, mm-hmm. it was just too much. It was way too much. The scariest scene for me was probably in the study where Sally kept saying, what do you want? Mm-hmm. What do you want? And then the leader came out. He was like, you, we want you. I was like, yo, he did not need to be that literate. Okay. He did not. Because the whole time, like, they're kind of like parrots. It's almost as though they kind of forget how to speak at times, mm-hmm. and they just make sounds. Mm-hmm. But then you have ones like the leader that are just very literate and very articulate, I should say. And so that's another reason why I felt like Blackwood was the leader, kind of like in Us situation, where like the leader was from our world and not theirs. Mm-hmm. Because Kim was still very articulate, even like a year later when they, you know, have her little monologue talking to the rest of the fairies. So that's really scary. Him just articulating that they just wanted to eat Sally, you guys. It just to give you guys some context, these fairies, which I should have explained it when I went over the fairy lore. But just to give you guys a little backstory, these fairies eat children's teeth and children's bones. So if your kid get got, that's it, they're gone. They're going to eat them. But if you're an adult, they just take you to replenish their ranks. And what happened was they made a deal with a pope to, in exchange for taking children's teeth, they'll leave silver dollars. And that's where the whole tooth fairy myth came from. So basically children leave their teeth under the pillow and the tooth fairy will, you know, take it and leave a silver dollar, I guess. And they actually did that for her. So thought that was interesting, but also they're just such scary little creatures.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm gonna leave it at that. It was just that's scary. The whole thing is scary.
All right. Yeah. Very scary stuff indeed. I have a few stuff to add to that. Yeah. First thing I wrote down was teeth getting smashed. Anything with teeth, fingernails, eyes. That's the holy trinity of horror. You add one of those in, done data. Done data for me. So, yeah, him smashing out the maid's teeth. And I guess the reason why I thought it was more PG-13, because you don't actually have a close-up of him smashing the teeth. They have a faraway shot, and of him just doing the action and the motion, you don't actually see the smashing. So that's why I was like, oh, this could have passed for PG-13. But I'm going to mention something else that probably made it an R, I guess. And also, people are sensitive about kids being put in scary situations, so that could have been a reason why as well. Let's see. Baths in the dark. So I don't mind dim baths. I don't mind a bath with like little candlelight, some music playing with some jazz. But Sally was
real tight. Paint a picture, sis. Paint that
with
picture.
My little oils, essential oils, yo. Like, crap. Okay, so Sally was taking a bath and the fairies was like, turn off the lights. And I was like, nope. And scary. Scary, scary, scary. Thought that was a sketchy scene. But well done. And it just shows how vulnerable you are in the shower, as done in Psycho and Grudge. And it's worse because she's a child with nothing to protect herself. And there's a bunch of them. There's a whole bunch of them, if Sori would say. There's a whole bunch of them. It's not just one or two. There's like 20 of them or more just running free. So I thought that was scary. And then, yeah, freaking Kim shin break. I was like, shoot, my mouth did that whole, that O kind of motion. I was like, shoot, her shins are gone. Haven't seen a good shin break since probably Chucky, that new Chucky movie. I think the last shin break we saw.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was intense. And that's probably a reason why I got bumped up to R as well, because they didn't cut away for that. They're like, we're going to show the shinage, the shin breakage. And earshot, they have a great shot of, like we said, the neat, the little pointy thing that they steal. And they have that shot with the dad. And I was like, oh, is this where the R is coming from? Is this the R rating right here? Is this what we're going to do? And nope, they miss every time. Like, oh, darn. But yeah, very scary situation. And how close they were to killing the dad. And I was like, low-key kind of sad because the dad was irritating me. So I was like, yeah. But
I wanted
scary
him to
situation.
See them more. But I'm going to get into that later.
And then, does the dad actually see them? He doesn't, right? He never sees them. He just gets tripped.
Not really. Not really. The whole, was it the stick in the cheek?
Yeah.
Thing? Like, that was the closest he got to, like, encountering them.
Got
basically.
It.
And seeing them drag Kim away.
Got it. And let me see. That might be my last scare. If you guys are wondering, this movie has a few jump scares. I do think this would be a really great theater watch. I watched it on my computer during a Netflix party. Excuse me. And yeah, I think it would be a great theater experience. It has its jump scares, but nothing on the level of Insidious Last Key or Conjuring or anything like that. It gives off a very whimsical theme. I put this in a category of fantasy horror. I don't know if that's a thing, but I'm gonna put it in there. But yeah, I think that's the last scary that I have for us. So we can go ahead and move on. How did you feel about the acting and the visuals?
Okay. I'll start with the visuals first. The set design was really great for this movie. It, like I said, it felt like something right out of a fairy tale. As even the exterior scenes, especially the exterior scenes, it was like you're in a fairy world. There is a garden behind the house and like a little creek. It was really beautiful and fantastical. It felt very Del Toro. With the lighting, I think they had like a blue hue to the lighting or something, mm-hmm. because it just felt like Sally was in another world. Mm-hmm. So that was really nice. I also appreciated the open credits. It was just I don't know if it was the editing or what that made it stand out to me, but it just I liked the way it was done visually. Mm-hmm. It was very appealing and it made me want to watch, and it's hard to get people to want to watch credits, but they had a lot of like art and drawings of teeth and things, and considering Blackwood's character is an artist, I thought it was just a really nice touch. Also, Blackwood's smile was really well done. His really gummy smile when he attacked the maid. I don't know how they made it look so realistic. They did that, though. They did that, and mm-hmm. I hated every bit of it. Also, the shot of Harris taking the scissors out of his neck. Mm-hmm. It was like a silhouette.
Yeah.
And you just saw the silhouette of blood. He didn't even see the blood shooting out. Like, it wasn't even that red because it was so dark. But you saw the silhouette of the blood shooting out. I thought, who came up with that? Like, that's amazing. It looks like a scene out of a comic book, you know? Mm-hmm. It just looked really dope. So Troy Nixie did his thing on that. Also, Sally and, you know, wearing all the red and, you know, red shoes as kind of her staple as a character. And I felt like Bailey Madison did great as Sally for a child actor. Pretty much everything Bailey Madison did when she was a kid, she gave 110% coach. She gave 110%. But she was so believable. Like, when she cried, I was like, yo, that child is upset, okay? Mm-hmm. And she is one of those actresses that can cry on cue. So she was just with the waterworks, you know? Like, and it was so believable. Every single thing that she did was just believable. And I felt like I was watching, you know, a very sophisticated kid going through this and people just treating her as though she don't know anything. So yeah, I thought the acting was A1 for me to hate Alex as much as I did. His acting had to be good. So
yeah, Guy Pearce is great.
To him.
Yeah.
Katie Holmes, when her leg broke, I felt it. I mm-hmm. felt it because her reaction to it, her scream, she did not hold back. A lot of times when adult actresses that usually play very sophisticated roles and they have to do something like this, it seems like they hold back a bit or they don't really tap into that pain that their character is going through. Mm-hmm. But when that leg broke, her reaction and everything after that was just so on point. And I was like, yo, she screamed
like, yeah, legit like we're on a roller coaster.
Like, it wasn't like a grunt or like a one little thing. She screamed like she carried a tune when she was screaming. It was for a few seconds. I was like, that's real talk. So yeah, and I also like when adults aren't like, as a character, when adults aren't afraid to show that they are fearful when there's a kid present. Usually in movies, they try to have the adults be that rock for the kid and not like scream or get scared really. We saw that in Darkness Falls. Even though everyone was afraid, you didn't really get the adults reacting a lot, going, ah, 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 like the kids usually do. where the kids just be crying. I felt like Katie Holmes did that. She was like, oh no, this shit is scary. Like, this is scary. This is real. So I like that they had Kim actually react and be just as scared, but still determined to protect Sally, because you can be scared and still protect people. So that's all I had to say on that.
Dopeness. I will agree with you. I don't have too much to add, but yeah, Bailey Madison, so dope. I mentioned it before, I'll mention it again. Love kids in horror movies when they're done well. Total opposite and 180 from Darkness Falls. Gave her so much credit. It takes a lot to carry a horror movie as a lead character. And Bailey did that, girl. Good job, good job. I low-key want to see Strangers Pray at Night because she's in it, to be honest. So she did great. Katie Holmes was really cool. I was a little iffy about her in the beginning, but once things got going and the Barry started attacking her, like you said, the shin breakage, like that's when I was like, okay, you got me. You got me. And then, yeah, Guy Pearce being a douchebag, I was just like, Aggie with him. I mean, his character was just, it's a combination of his character being well-written and his acting as well. I feel like if his acting wasn't as good, it could have came off like, it could have been bad, but his acting was very believable. And also, can I just talk about Sally's mom, though, over the phone? She has one phone call with her mom, and I'll talk about that in the F-ups. I'm just upset. I'm like,
rage mode. You need a rage mode. Rage.
Yeah, okay. Section. Yes. Rage mode. So basically, during this whole shenanigans, Sally has one conversation with her mom, and her mom's just like getting food, I think. And like, she's like, oh, it's fine. It's like gorgeous there. You'll be fine. And she's literally like, I'm getting sick. I'm afraid. Like, I don't like, I hate it here, basically. And her mom's like, don't worry about it. You'll be relaxed. Like, buck up, kid,
basically. Very dismissive. Yeah, she wasn't like, even hearing what she was saying. She just heard her tone was sad and, like, you know. She wasn't even listening to her because she was talking to someone else about sushi and, like, doing other things. It sounded like she had a guy over something, and yeah, and she was just not even hearing her. I feel you, man. I was so irritated.
I was like, so out of all of this, you don't even know what's going on with your child right now. Your child is literally being drugged by fairies, legit, and you're talking about sushi. Like, I don't understand. So that's just a
quick. And she didn't tell her she loved her.
Nope, didn't say you loved her. She's like, oh, bye. Like, worst mom ever. Worst mom ever. I'll talk about more about that in F-Ups. And yeah, in terms of visuals, it's very Del Toro. You can tell by the visuals and just by the whimsical theme, kind of Pan's Labyrinth vibes in terms of whimsical and whatnot. Which I like. It shows that whimsical doesn't always have to be happy and jolly. Whimsical can be scary. And I love that so much. One day we'll do Pan's Labyrinth. It's on my list, you guys. I know it's considered fantasy for some people, but that movie's sketchy. So moving forward, we are going to do our favorite, at least one of my favorite segments.
Yes. Where did they F up?
Where did they F up, Story? Did they F up? I don't know.
So much. So Genesis F up. In the beginning. In the beginning, there is a maid. And she heard a bell. And I guess Mr. Blackwood had a bell that would ring when he needed maid service or whatever. So, and this maid is pretty young, and she goes down to the basement to see what Mr. Blackwood wants. But when she's at the top of the stairs, it's dark in there. She doesn't see him. She just hears him, and he's like Gollum down there.
That's exactly what I said. I was like, Schmeagol.
Like, he's like, yeah, he's being really creepy and weird. And she's like, what is it? And he's like, come here, come closer. And like, see, sir, I'm gonna have to take the rest of the night off. You're not acting right. And there, I like, I didn't mention this in my brought up set design, but there's like a pile of plates at the door when she opened it. And like, so he ain't been out of the basement in like days, yeah. Days. He's been in that basement for a long time.
Yeah.
And no one's come to collect those plates. Like, what's happening? So she decides to go down there. Of course, she gets tripped and she gets knocked out, and that whole mm-hmm. thing happens. She shouldn't have been doing all that if he was being sketchy. Also, Blackwood, your son is dead.
He's dead.
Okay. He's like, oh, give me my son back, please. Here's some teeth. And they're like, no, we want children's teeth. And it's like, okay, sir. They literally told you what they want. Your don't follow son that. You
killed the maid for no reason.
Why would they still have your son alive? Why? And so that got on my nerves because he's just taking his own teeth out and killing the maid and taking her teeth and just all of it's for nothing. He ended up becoming one of them. So then the talking teddy bear, I didn't care for that. Didn't care for that at all. I don't understand why she had to give her a teddy bear that said something. But also because Madison, not Madison, I'm calling her by her real name, Sally. When they were messing with the bear, she decided to go over there and be like, oh, hey, I'll be your friend. And it's like, she was smiling when the bear kept saying, I love you. Mm-hmm. And in real life, it could be like, ghost, demon, dog, get help, Lord, Jesus. And she's like, ah, they're making the bear move. And yeah. It's like, you're not frightened? The bear just started moving and talking by itself. This is not some Toy Story-ish. Like, that's scary. And then they told her, we don't like the light. We don't like the light. So she turned the lights off for them. Why? She's a smart girl. She should know better. Like, she's really smart.
She thought
smart,
they were friends. Like, she thought really, they were friends.
She's
in
not
the beginning.
Four. She's not five. She's not six. She's like almost 10 years old.
Yeah.
She should know better. Yeah. She should know better. That was too much for me. She's so well spoken and mm-hmm. she should know better. That was
she thought
that
they
was
were friends. She
I
thought they were friendly.
And then I told her to be afraid. She had no fear for like the first quarter of the movie. Mm-hmm. She was just like investigating and trying to find them, and she's like, you're gonna have to show yourself to me, you're gonna have to be honest with me if we're gonna be friends. And it's like, so you're smart enough to know that friends gotta be honest with you, that's cute, but you're not smart enough to know that these are little gremlin things.
Nope.
That
they haven't did anything bad to her yet,
cause harm.
They did Toy Story ish so she's like, oh, that's yeah. fun.
Well, look, she's getting blamed for stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'll bring
so
that up.
So friends don't do things. And then, shoot. What else? I have so many. Kim left. So Sally fell asleep in Alex and Kim's bed. She fell asleep at the foot of the bed. They didn't even notice she was there. Then Kim just happened to wake up in the middle of the night and saw her and decided to carry her to her own bed. Let the girl sleep in there for the night. Like, if a kid crawls into your bed, they're afraid.
Yeah, sorry of my life.
There. It wasn't an accident that she fell asleep mm-hmm. holding a flashlight at the foot of your bed. Then when she took her to her bed, she was like, oh, please stay with me even after I fall asleep. Just don't leave me. Kim, you have one job. You have one job and one job only, Kim. And I'm highly disappointed in you. Kim woke up and left her.
Yep.
Woke up and left her. And then she also requested that the lights stay on. And it's like, so clearly she's afraid. And you left her. You left her alone. And as soon as she left her alone, all hell broke loose. So I was upset. And then put her noisy ass teddy bear next to her. Mm-mm. In her place. And mm-mm. I was... And then it's supposed to be cold there and nobody was had a blanket. I'd be upset. I'd be so upset. Because I'd be cold all the time. I'm cold right now. I have a blanket over my shoulders. It's the summertime. And I just be...
Facts, though.
It gets me upset. So the bathroom scene, when Sally got out of the bathtub, I would have ran so fast to the light switch. Ooh, you couldn't catch me. You would not be able to catch me. I would be at that light switch so fast. She never went for the light switch. She never tried turning the lights on mm-hmm. in that whole scene. And I waited for it because I had my pen ready for that F up. I was like, is she gonna turn on the lights? Turn on Sally.
Sis,
I know you're scared, but you're already out the tub with your robe on. Mm-hmm. Turn on the light. She walked all the way to the door, realized there was no doorknob, and still didn't turn on the light. So I was just disappointed. So disappointed. Take Sally with you. Why do they keep leaving her in the house by herself? She's a kid. It's a new change. She haven't even been out in the town yet. She just moved here. She's been there for a couple weeks. And she hasn't even been outside the house other than in the backyard. Like, that, I don't understand. So, and when, what's her name, Kim went to see Mr. Harris and he told her to get Sally out the house and he gave her that lot number for the library. Why didn't she go to the house first and pick Sally up?
Yeah.
And then they could have gone together. Like, get her out the house first. She's over there acting up just to get her out, if anything. Like, it doesn't even have to be because you believe something malicious is going on. Just take her outside sometimes. Mm-hmm. Take her away from the house sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. clearly it's driving her crazy. Alex being so dismissive. And, again, Kim should have kept Sally with her. I can't stress that enough. But, hey, it happened the way it happened. That's what I got.
It happened the way it happened.
That's what I got. That's the way the cookie crumbled.
Let me see. I have a few things to add to this, the F-ups. Sally opening the grate, basically opening the fairy door, essentially. Honestly, if I was 8 and I was in a creepy house and I heard whispers in a grate, I wouldn't be curious enough to open that. I would be like, no.
Right. No. Be afraid. She's just like too
brave
for me.
They were just whispers. They were literally whispers. And I kind of want to mention that in my cool too. The voices. Like, I like how they were just a bunch of whispers. Guillermo del Toro actually voices one of them, which is kind of funny. But... it wasn't like a solitary, like, even female voice. It was just a bunch of whispers that were just coming from the darkness. And I'm like, how is that friendly though? So yeah,
is that enticing?
Yeah, definitely.
This is your FF, so I'm gonna let you take it away. But girl, sis.
So yeah, that's an F up. I wrote leaving the key in the door. So this is after she opens the grate and she lets them out and they left the key to the basement in the door and they somehow push the key out and like pull it under the door. And I'm like, that's kind of convenient, but I'm gonna let it slide. But yeah, they just left that in there and that enabled them to have access to the rest of the house. And then I wrote, okay, so this freaking the dad, Alex being so dismissive. She literally had photo evidence, bro, of the fairy. She was like, dad, look, fairies. And he was like, get away from me. And I was like, wow, like literally. And you just look,
get away from me. Oh my God. Yes. He was like, not right now.
That's literally what he did. And I was like, you just have to look for half a second. Just look for a second and you'll see it. So then the table scene happened. I was like, so the photo's gone now. Like, we have the evidence locked back.
But she took more in the study. In the study, she took more.
Bruh, she had even more than that. This leads to my next F up. So in the study, things are going crazy. Things are going ham. A lot of commotion. She pushes the freaking bookcase on a fairy, crushes it to death, and doesn't show anyone. I would be like, look, dead fairy. Like,
yeah, not only that, his arm came off and it fell on the floor.
Yep. I was like, show him the corpse. Fairy corpse. It didn't like evaporate. It didn't turn to pixie dust. It literally was a corpse on the ground. I would have showed everyone in that party, like, yo, fairies exist. And it would have been done. It would have been wraps. But nope, she didn't say anything. She just like, she was like crying and upset. But honestly, once everyone came in, I would have showed everyone that fairy body, that fairy corpse. And that's pretty much it. That's all my FFs. You had a good amount, but those are the ones I wanted to chime in with. So we are coming to the end of our journey. And I want to know, Story, what makes this a horror movie and what are the themes for you?
What makes it a horror movie? Again, the whole concept of fairies is kind of scary. The fact that they just come, cause a lot of ruckus and mischief, and then take you back to their world and as like their hostage, but then like you have to become one of them, like you lose your humanity, basically. Everything that makes you a human, a person. So that scares me. And also it's like you know, it's a good gateway, I guess, for kids. I feel like Del Toro do a lot of gateway horror. A lot of his movies have like kids for main characters, and they're going through something that adults wouldn't understand or wouldn't believe. But I really, yeah, the whole fairy thing makes it a horror movie for me. And also there's some violence in there for you guys that like gore. And then the themes, I think there's a theme of mental health and kids where they're not being taken seriously, and parents tend to deal with kids and not really figure out their kids. And I feel like that's a strong theme here. It's easy to just, when a kid's acting up, instead of getting to the bottom of it, figuring out why they're doing what they're doing, why they think the way they think, they just say, all right, give her some Adderall,
put her to bed. And I think that's like great, because my senior thesis in high school is literally about giving kids medication, and specifically like ADHD, because those conditions aren't really like super diagnosable, if that's a word. Like, it's just like, oh, they're acting up ADD, like, and they just give them meds, essentially.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
What's crazy is Sally's issue wasn't even her behavior, it was that she was sad. She was literally depressed, and Alex said to Kate that, not Kate, Kim, Laura, if I could call them by their real names, Kim, Alex told Kim that her mom thought that she would be happier there, like maybe she would start to feel better. And it's like, so instead of just asking her what's the matter, you give her pills, and then you say, here, I'm gonna send you away because that might help you feel better. It's pretty there, you'll be happy. How do you know? Like, she's a person. She knows where she want to be and what she want to do. That's like, her mom just wanted to like get rid of her because she didn't know how to parent. It's easier than having to parent. So and then Alex was just so focused on his career that he just dismissed everything as her acting out. But it's like, you have to understand, she didn't know that she was going to live with her dad. She thought she was just going to stay there for a while. She literally said, mom told me I was going to stay here for a bit, but then she packed off my clothes. And it's like, how heartbreaking.
Exactly. That's why I was like, I relate to her so hard.
They don't even give you the respect of being up front with you. You mm-hmm. know, they don't even like. Kids deserve that much. You yeah, know?
Kids know more than they like that we think they do.
People,
kids yeah, notice.
Exactly. So definitely, mental health in kids and just being so dismissive and not wanting to deal with them. I hate that kids are seen as things that need to be dealt with, and they're not seen as people that have issues that need to be worked out. Alex was straight up like, yeah, my kid has problems, and it's like, but you don't even know what the problems are. You have her sit with a stranger and talk to them, and you won't even talk to her, because and you won't, and when she does speak, you don't even hear what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely mental health in children is a huge theme, which and looking for or finding a false home. So Sally, the whole thing with the fairies only happened because of her parents' reaction to her depression and her looking for acceptance somewhere. Mm-hmm. And she was so thirsty to feel loved and accepted that she went and messed around with some dark fairies and mm-hmm. stuff. So you can drive someone into like a false home if you don't provide them with that love and nurturement that they need. So that's what I got.
Great point. And yeah, what makes it a horror movie for me? Just creepy fairies. Anything that's like small and that can run fast. Anything that could do that. Mm-mm.
Yeah, what was it? What was it?
Uh-uh.
That's what they sound like.
Uh-uh.
So many of them.
Yeah, that's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, that's you. There's a whole bunch of them. And they're savvy. They're savvy with rope and things.
Yeah, nope. Mm-mm. Nope. Scary little creatures. And then for themes, I wrote abandonment, loneliness, divorce on children. I don't think we've touched on that theme in the show yet. We've had so many episodes. We're almost at 50 episodes, you guys. I lose count. But I think it's a great thing to touch on because, you know, like I said, watching this with someone whose parents are still together was super interesting, by the way, because, you know, a lot of people's parents are divorced. So I'm just like, oh, everyone relates to this. And watching it with someone whose parents are still together, it can come off as being bratty or irritating or whatever, but it's like, yo, it sucks to feel like your parent cares more about their partner than you, or it sucks that your mom sent you away to live with your dad and you don't like this house and you're in a new place. And what if she doesn't really get along with her dad? What if she's not really close with her dad like that and she got sent to live with him? So it's all these different things. And you know, it's a crappy situation for Kim because I feel like she was trying to be friendly. And, you know, if you're new, I'm like, I don't know you. Like, who are you? So I feel for Kim, but also Sally. I feel for both sides. But yeah, divorce on children, it takes a big toll on them. And the loneliness. It's funny because I'm like, yeah, I was a pretty lonely child. I was very, I stuck to myself a lot. I didn't have many friends, but I was never to the point where I was like, I'm going to talk to some fairies, though. I was never at that point. So I thought that was interesting that you can push someone to the point of loneliness to where they're doing stuff they're not supposed to do. So keep that in mind, you guys. And yeah, that's pretty much all I have for themes and whatnot. And we're going to wrap this up with your relationship status story.
Yeah, so for my relationship status, I wrote that this would be like a seasonal hookup. Someone like maybe a vacation bae, like maybe just once in a while, because I do have my issues with it. My main thing is for where it could have been better, I really wanted Alex to experience seeing them. I feel like it really would have hit a home run with me if he would have seen them in the basement right before they pulled Kim mm-hmm. down, that would have been the hook, line, and sinker for mm-hmm. me. So, because he could have gone the whole movie, but
or even right seen there, the picture, like if at the end, like if he saw one of her photographs, and he would have been like, yeah. "Oh crap!" Like she was right. Like even something like yeah. that would have been cool.
Mm-hmm. I think it would have been. It would have been A1 if he would have, honestly, because that would have, that alone would have equated to all the trauma that his daughter had been going through, for him to see them and then see his partner get pulled down with them, you mm-hmm. know? Like, if she would have got pulled down and there were a couple of stragglers that ran down after mm-hmm. her, that he would have been able to see, that would have been, that would have done it for me, and made this movie like really great. But I appreciate the movie. I would actually like to see more of these fairies or more fantasy horror movies that utilize fairy lore. Mm-hmm. Just because it's so fascinating to
it
me.
Is.
Which is why I would, you know, I don't mind watching this movie again, because I pick up on something different each time I watch it. Something in the house or, you know, in the set design that, you know, just adds another element to that fairy lore. So, yeah, I would call it an occasional hookup or a seasonal bae, like a vacation bae.
Okay, I might kind of be in the same boat as you, actually. I really love, like you said, it dealing with fairy lore. I'm not too knowledgeable of fairy lore. The only thing I kind of know of is from listening to the podcast Lore. Shout out. I love that podcast. And they have a few episodes dealing with fairies. So I learned a little bit from that. And yeah, so having it deal with lore is really original. We haven't touched on that in the show thus far, so it shows how original the concept is. And yeah, it's very like I said, it's whimsical, very fantasy horror. I love fantasy movies in general, so it's, and I love horror movies, so it's a great little mashup there. Yeah, it'll be like a seasonal thing. I can see it being on like a Halloween watch list, like having in the background while you're having a Halloween party. Great gateway horror for kids, for me. Like, I would totally have watched this at like 8 years old. Like, it's not sexual. There's no sex scenes, you guys. There's no, not a lot of bad language at all. It would only be for, you know, that shin break scene and when what's his face gets attacked with the Mr. scissors Harris. And all that stuff.
Yeah.
So other than that, I would totally be like, let your kids watch this and see if they like horror, you know, see if they get creeped out by it. But yeah, it'll definitely be a seasonal bae. So that being said, that is the end of our episode of Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. As we mentioned before, we have watched this on Netflix as the day of this recording. So who knows, if it, check it by the time you're listening to this, it might still be on Netflix, but that's where we watched it. And we're going to head into our musical break. And our musical break for this episode is going to be Vacation in Our Minds by Lee, brand new song. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Lee. And we'll see you guys after the break with our Sounds Like a Horror Movie.
We'll go out into the world.
right, you guys, welcome back. Really hope you enjoyed our musical break. Like I mentioned before, it is called Vacation in Our Minds by Lee. Brand new song by them. And we'll have a link to the song on Spotify in the show notes of this episode. And before we move on into our Sounds Like a Horror Movie segment, I'm going to tell you guys some businessy stuff. You guys know the deal. So we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at GoreFriends. We have an email, which is GoreFriendsPodcast@gmail.com. We have a Google Voice number, which I'll also put in the show notes of this episode, which you can call, leave a voicemail with some kind words, recommendations, or your own Sounds Like a Horror Movie. We are on iTunes, so if you guys are listening to us on iTunes, we really appreciate it if you leave a review or just a rating for us. It makes it easier for people to find us and just get us, you know, up the rankage and whatnot. We are close to 50 episodes, so, you know, let's make the Gore Gang bigger. We are on Patreon as well. So if you guys want to donate $1, $5, $10 a month, you'll get various perks, including a Gore Gang sticker. If you're on the $5 tier, you get Gore Friends TV, which we're covering. Right now, we're literally wrapping up American Horror Story, and we're starting our new season next week. So go ahead and check that out. And then we're having a merch store come out. So if you do $10 a month, you'll get discounts to our store. So that's pretty rad. And you'll help, all the costs from that goes towards, you know, new equipment, travel costs once things open back up again and stuff like that. So really, really appreciate the, we also do Netflix parties as well. So that's rad. And last but not least, if you're a musical artist, go ahead and hit us up in any of the avenues that I mentioned and send us some of your work. And if we vibe with it, we'll play it on the show. So that being said, we have a Sounds Like a Horror Movie taken from Reddit. This is taken from the Let's Not Meet subreddit. So Let's Not Meet is basically a subreddit where people have really sketchy encounters with people. And this was posted by IvoryToast4888. So Story is going to go ahead and read this creepy encounter.
Yes, I am, for our Sounds Like a Horror Movie.
Ooh.
So let's get this going. So the title is Man Plans on Killing My Mom and I Before Dad Steps In. Already. I read the title last night. I was like, yo, just from the title. So here we go. So this is a shorter story that my dad told me that happened when I was about one or so. We were living in New Mexico at the time, and we were out for a Saturday just exploring. We were going between places when my dad decided to stop the car at a local gas station to fill up, and he had left his credit card at home, so he was going to have to go into the gas station to pay. Meanwhile, all the excitement of the day was just too much for me as a baby, and I mysteriously soiled my diaper, you know, as you do.
Yeah.
I do know. So my mom realizes what I did and grabs her diaper bag and lays me down in the back seat of the car. She was standing outside of the car changing my diaper, and then all of a sudden my dad comes running up to the car full speed and asks, "Are you all right?" And my mom is really confused and asks what he means. My dad then goes on to explain that when he was in the gas station, he looked out towards the car and noticed a man who was sitting in a lawn chair nearby. Already, see, look. He noticed the man stand up and didn't think any of it. Oh, sorry, didn't think anything of it. My dad looked away for a couple of seconds, and when he looked back, he saw the man had acquired a tire iron and was hunched over slightly while approaching our car with my mom and I. My mother's back was turned to the man and to the gas station, and so she didn't see him coming. My dad said the man was about 20 feet apart from my mom and I before my dad ran out and yelled at the man, who promptly took off running in the opposite direction. Then my dad came to meet us at the car and saved the day. I shudder to think what that man would have done to my mom and I if dad hadn't been paying attention. Also, the area in New Mexico we lived in was not exactly safe and was not the first or last creepy or dangerous experience we had in the area. So we moved to Colorado later that year.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That legit sounds like a horror movie.
Number one, he was sitting in a lawn chair at a gas station. Of course he's sketchy. Who does that? Like, didn't think anything of it when he stood up. Like, I would have. Yeah. I would have been at the window, looking out the window, like an old person, just staring out the window.
And I don't know if this has happened during the day or at night. And I'm like, if this is during the day, he's bold AF.
It seems like it was at night because they had like a full day of frolic and fun.
Oh, true. So maybe like dusk or nighttime. So, yeah, because I was like, if this was during the day, that freaking guy is bold. But wow, just
it
legit.
It could have been in the evening.
Which is crazy because I'm assuming the guy like saw the dad go inside, and it's like, you're being that bold just to like try and knock out this mom and her baby while the dad's,
you know,
inside.
Crazy doesn't have logic.
This is true. This
There's
is true.
No rationale to crazy.
Yeah, no. If That's I'm changing wild. My kid's That's diaper, wild. We just go in the bathroom, you guys. Go in the bathroom, change the diaper, or make sure that your back is against the wall so you can see your surroundings. I'm very much like that. Like, if I'm in a restaurant, back faces the wall so I can see exits and where everyone's doing.
Yeah. And it's like, no one would think that someone's going to run up on you with a tire iron while you're changing your baby's diaper at the gas station.
Yeah. Like, no, that's so true. And then plus her husband's wild. There. It's like, oh, my husband's inside. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. But yeah, that's totally something that I would see in a horror, like a sketchy, like one of those like Kills Have Eyes type situation.
Yep. Scary stuff. At least someone's dad pays attention, unlike Alex.
Freaking Alex, worst dad ever. So thanks,
Useless.
Ivory Toast, for that.
I'm sorry, now I'm upset.
It's
again.
Okay. I get it. A lot of hate towards Alex. He sucks.
He did nothing. He was pointless. He could have not been a factor in the same outcome would have happened.
So true. So yeah, thanks Ivory Toast for that submission. Like I said, mentioned it, that's from Let's Not Meet. You guys can check out that subreddit if you guys are into Reddit like that. There's a bunch of just creepy stories on there. And like we said before, you send in your own. Sounds like a horror movie. We love reading submissions or listening to submissions from you guys. So that's our show, you guys, for this week. Thank you so much for all the support. We're heading into June. We're halfway. We're halfway through the year, yo. Halfway through.
That's scary.
Halfway through, we've been in the show. I don't know if we mentioned it, but we're like a year into the show. And yeah, we don't have any signs of stopping. So I just want to show my appreciation again. Love you guys so much for all the support we've been getting on social media and on Patreon and all that stuff. So love you guys. Story, you have anything you want to add in?
Yeah, like we said before, Gorking merch is dropping. And I know we've been talking about it for a while, but it's like legit this time. We had commercial fees to pay. Everything's taken care of, and I'm excited. I think I'm gonna post a countdown today.
Yes,
for merch will drop.
It's the final countdown.
So I'm excited, you guys. Let's do this. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So we will see you guys next week, or you'll hear from us next week. And it'll be my pick. And I think I already know what I'm going to do. So stay tuned for that.
I'm excited.
So bye, girlfriends.
Bye.